To Donacha O'Breacon, Professor of Politics at Dublin City University, an expert on the politics of Russia and Eastern Europe. Donacha, thank you for taking our call. We've had two rounds of negotiations between Russia and Ukraine this week, that pretty high-level meeting between the foreign ministers in Turkey and then further meeting between officials to try to negotiate even a temporary cessation, but nothing has come of those talks. Is there any evidence that Vladimir Putin at this stage is interested in some diplomatic resolution to this?
Well, certainly the position of the Ukrainian foreign minister yesterday after his meeting with Sergei Lavrov was that the Russian government is not serious. All evidence is that Vladimir Putin is frustrated with the lack of progress. He thought the war would be over long before now, and that we will probably see, and we've already seen much evidence of this, an escalation of barbarity as there will be increased aerial bombardments on cities. I mean, Lavrov simply used the platform yesterday of the talks to engage in, you know, further explanations of the rather incredulous position. He said, we don't plan to attack other countries. He said, we did not attack Ukraine. It's Orwellian. I mean, you might remember from George Orwell's 1984, the famous line that war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. So essentially, we're being told there is no war. Russia is not attacking Ukraine. And indeed, the attacks that we have seen, they're being described as fake news. It's implied that the Ukrainians are faking attacks on themselves. And he repeated his demands yesterday that the demilitarization of Ukraine, the decapitation of the government, the denazification of society, which are all euphemisms for complete Russian control of Ukraine. So there doesn't seem to be an appetite for any serious negotiations at the moment, unfortunately, on behalf of the Kremlin.
And in terms of internal opposition within Russia to this war, there are, as we know, very severe penalties for anyone who speaks out against it or spreads what the regime describes as false news. But are any voices of opposition being heard?
Well, in terms of civil society, there are some very brave people who have come out and protests at great personal cost, and obviously that's a welcome sign. But I think they will bear in mind that the Council of Europe, which is 47 members now, is without Russia. Russia left the Council of Europe yesterday. It suspended its membership, and Dmitry Medvedev, who'd be very close to Vladimir Putin, said it was a good opportunity to reinstate the death penalty, which Russia has a moratorium on since it joined the Council of Europe in the 1990s. And I think that's a signal to civil society that, you know, death penalty could be back on the books. And of course, the ultimate crime that's often used, or rather the death penalty is used for, is treason or crimes against Russia. So I think they're signaling there that there will be enhanced repression against people in Russia who dare to protest. That's not to say that Russia is rising up right now. I mean, there are many people who are fed on a diet of state television and genuinely believe what they're hearing, that they are. This is a special operation to liberate Ukraine from Nazis, and then there are some who are not believers, but they don't want their country to lose. It's a case of my country, right or wrong. But going back to the Council of Europe suspension, that's very important because it also means that Russians themselves are now no longer able to file complaints at the European Court of Human Rights. It's another signal that Russia is removing itself from international society by this war against Ukraine.
And in terms of Putin's, or what one can make of Putin's tactics in relation to this, I mean, many reports suggest that he or the regime may well have been surprised by the unity displayed by the West. But that has begun to crack just a little, hasn't it, in recent days with this dispute between Poland and the United States over providing fighter jets to the Ukrainians.
That's true. And there's all sorts of reasons why that happened. Some people have said the Poles didn't consult the US in advance, and they should have. But ultimately, it's very disheartening for President Zelensky, who has made very emotional and tired appeals to close the skies, as he put it. He says they will be closed eventually, but only after, he said, millions will be killed. And he said he's getting increasingly, I think, frustrated with the inactivity of the West and calling them on them to do the right thing to protect people from escalation, because the West is not committing things like the MiG-29s to the, you know, putting them at the disposal of the Ukrainian government, because they say it will escalate the conflict. But Zelensky's argument is that the conflict will escalate anyway and civilians will be in the front line. So they're really appealing to the West. And as you say, there are divisions within the West about how much support should be given. Those which are closest to Ukraine, those who have suffered most from the Kremlin historically, are most supportive. And that was evident this week. But in terms of the troop losses, I mean, Russia is definitely reeling. There's no question there. I mean, you have to put things in perspective that In 10 years of fighting in Afghanistan, the Soviet army lost there 14,000 troops. Estimates now range between about 6,000 and 12,000 troops lost in the last 2 weeks fighting in Ukraine. So that puts the Russian losses in perspective. And the question is now is whether an ever more desperate Vladimir Putin will descend into greater forms of brutality to get the victory that he desperately needs, on which, his regime also depends.
Donal O'Brien, Professor of Politics at Dublin City University, thank you for that.